by plays than playing night baseball. Yeah, because I know I play a lot of night baseball in the minors, and I enjoyed the day baseball when I played it because you could see that ball better easier. Yeah, that's why they like to play in Chicago and Wrigley Field.
The only night game I ever played was with the Phillies when you were there.
Yes, yes. Vince broke his wrist in Cincinnati, and we played the game there. We beat the Reds 8-6, and he crashed into the wall and broke his wrist, and then shipped him home from there. But the thing it's funny part about it is when I first joined, the Phillies in Boston, we were traveling to New London from Boston by train, and I was sitting in the car where Vince was singing. He's got a good voice. I mean, he had then.
Yeah.
For his wife, and I got off the train to pick up some more clothes at home because I got off in New London. But when I got into New York the next day, my own... they told me that Jimmy Wilder was suspended for 3 days because he had gotten in a fight with Vince DiMaggio.
Really?
Right on the train. That's right, because Vince was singing and these fellows were playing gin rummy. I guess Jimmy Wilder popped off and they started the fight.
Well,
he was cocky as heck. And I guess he'd be like that, you know, pop off. He didn't care what he said anyway. I roomed with him once in Pittsburgh and I didn't see him till 3 o'clock in the morning.
He was out late.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in bed. I heard him coming in. He might have been out, you know, like I said, gallivanting out. You know, all these ball players were gallivanting out, you know, at night.
Were you married?
No, I didn't say no. There's nothing I knew about them.
Yeah.
No, they, like, a lot of them found me when I played poker, you know, so
yeah.
Stuff like that. Ben Chapman had one rule in case like you. He said, I don't care how you fellas drink or get drunk, he said, but I want you able to play ball out there the next day. That's all he said. He didn't care what time you came in.
Did you ever play with Paul Wainer playing in
1945? No. Oh, wait a minute. He was, but I think he was with one of the Wainers was...
Andy Carl.
Yeah. Yeah, he was our relief pitcher.
Really?
Yeah, he was a good... I remember a couple of times I... Got the last ball, I gave it to him because he came in relief. He was a knuckleball pitcher, too. He loved to throw that knuckleball. The only thing is, I think he was suffering from ulcers because he had to drink milk all the time, milk and crackers. So. And he was kind of a thin fella. But he was being used quite often. I don't think he was a relief pitcher quite often. But he was a good one.
What
was the biggest thing in the program? Oh, they were in the bottom. I can't blame them for trying to get new players, you know. Rebuild. That's the next year, then they got Dale Ennis. Dale Ennis was one of the players, and Andy Semenik stayed there. But I think over half that team I was with didn't stay. Because, you know, it was... No, he was with Utica. I think he came up later.
I see.
And this other fellow's outfield, I can't think of his name. He came up from Utica, too. He was a good player.
Reno Montegudo?
No, Reno Montegudo was with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about him, he had a chance to break the pinch hitting record for a pinch hitter, and he came up, but everybody could see he was tightening up. You know, you could see it.
Consecutive hits
as a pinch hitter. He needed the sixth one, I think. Well, he had six, I don't know which. He was going for the seventh. And they sent him up, the bases loaded, but you could see that he was tense up there, and he didn't get it.
Does Smokey Burgess have that record?
Yeah, I think so. The thing about it, I was going to say another thing about them. Vince DiMaggio had a chance to break the record in Cincinnati for getting up with home runs on bases loaded. And he was trying hard, but he struck out. You probably know about Vince that he was either a strikeout or a home run with him.
Really?
Yeah, that's the way he was. He swung so hard all the time. He was just going for the fence. He wasn't like his brothers, you know. Like Joe would go for the hit there just to win that ball game. Yeah. But Vince wasn't that. He'd go for that long ball all the time. Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah, he was a good fielder. Yeah, very good. Yeah, we had Johnny Antonelli at third. He was a good man, too. He's managing now in Memphis.
That's not the same Johnny Antonelli.
No, that's another pitcher. That's right. Yeah, he was a pitcher. This is Johnny Antonelli that played third base with the Phillies.
Did
Hughie
Barrett play
for you? Yes. What? Yeah, well, he was the one that was pitching in the pole grounds when I got into my first ball game. Yeah, I just read he was a happy-go-lucky. Red Cupid Barrett.
How did he get his name? Was he bald or something?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah, Kewpie. Yeah, right. He was bald. I made one error, right? It was on an easy bounding ball, and I should have had it, but it was so easy that I was too easy on it, and I just hit my glove and bounced off a little bit. And he just said, "That's all right, kid. Forget about it." We lost that game 2-1, but actually they didn't score anything on my error. But we lost the game 2-1. He was a good pitcher. Of course, for the Phillies in those days, they had pitchers lost more than they won anyway, but it wasn't because of a bad pitcher. They just, we couldn't get enough runs for them or something like that.
The Phillies were last year too, except for Steve Carlton.
I know it, yeah. Steve Carlton was a pitcher.
He was 2017. You mentioned 15 miles before.
Yeah, well, we were
a special place in your heart for you?
Well, I remember him because he was the shortstop, so we were the double play combination, and he was the one that helped me out on second base, you know, telling me where to play for this for certain hitters, and of course Chapman waved me over anyway. Like, and Bitsy Martin had some special signals, like if he was going to take the ball on the double play, or if I was, in other words, I guess he was reading the signals from the catcher, you know, what was going to be thrown, a curveball or fastball. And he turned around to me, if it was going to be my turn to take the bag, he'd open his mouth like that and then holler, because, you know, it's what he explained to me, which you will agree, that the crowd roaring, you couldn't hear him anyway, see.
Right.
So he'd open his mouth like that, with that glove hit like this, so the crowd, the other team would see. And that would be a signal for me to take the ball on second base. He went, if he closed his mouth like this.
Same thing on the field?
Yeah, that's right. He always gave me the signal. It was my ball. That way we wouldn't be fuddled on second base.
Who was pitching for you?
Semenik. Andy Semenik, yeah. And Gus Mancuso would get him a few times. But he was kind of old then. You know, so he was doing more bullpen duty than himself. But we had another catcher named Stan. I can't think of his last name, but he was a second string catcher actually behind Semenik.
Charlie Shannon.
He came from Florida too, by the way, this fellow did.
Let me tell you, I think the only names that I would mention to you yet are Charlie Shannon, Dick Lloyd.
Yeah, he was a big catcher, a big pitcher, Charlie was.
Right.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher. And
Charlie Sproul.
Yeah, Charlie Sproul. I remember he was tall and thin. Actually, I got the team picture downstairs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Kit has the team picture too, I think. It's one of the old programs and everything.
Yeah. Would you like to see it?
I don't know.
Well, in the service, the Skin Diamond is like that. He played down Ardmore, Oklahoma, and was hot as a brick playing on the night. He was playing. The ball screwed down pretty fast.
He must have played on some funny fields down in the canal zone, I guess.
No, we only played on two fields. Well, I mean in the canal zone itself. We played on two fields. I was in Balboa and over in Cristobal. I mean, they were well kept. They were minor league fields, you know, good. But the Army airfields, right? And the Air Force fields were a little different, you know.
landing good.
Navy teams, and so the fields there weren't that good. But the two down in the canal zone were very good. And I played down in the Panamania Professional League in Panama City, too, because was close by, so we played there.
Yeah.
They had good ball players too. Mostly colored, though, but, you know, they were good players. At that time, they didn't get up in the majors or minors.
I know talking about Rene Montebuto, I guess the Senators had a lot of trouble in 44 because they had about 10 or 11 Cubans on their team.
Yeah.
Lefty Lefevre said that Calvin Griffith was very tight with the money, and so he could,
if
he paid the Cubans $1,500, it was a fortune to them, and so they would.
We had one player on the Balboa team. See, I played for the Diablo and Red Devils, but we played against the Balboa, and they had a tremendous shortstop, Cuban, and he ended up with Washington later. He was fast. He couldn't hit that good. I mean, for long ball, he was very fast. I think he stayed up there a couple of years.
Did you hit any home runs when you were up at the field?
No, I just hit three doubles.
Did you?
Yeah, I got about 12 hits, I guess. Yeah. I think I got all my doubles in. No, I got one double in Brooklyn and two of them in Philadelphia.
Remember any pitchers in particular that you had trouble with while you were up there?
Well, no, I can't think of any right now, you know. By name, I guess.
Yeah.
There was one with Brooklyn that was pretty fast, and he kept me in tight all the time. I forget his name. He was pretty fast, though. But I guess Sal Magley was the best one I faced, I'd say, out of the whole bunch.
You got hit out of him.
Yeah, well, like I said, you didn't know me. I don't know, I did get robbed of a base sitting against him, too, that same day. Danny Gardella made a diving one-handed shoestring catcher against me in right field, so I had to swing it late. Another time over in the Cincinnati, I mean, I hit one Hank Sauer and caught one off his shoe tops on me. So I got robbed of two extra base hits, so I could be expected.
Hank Sauer was one of my favorites. We lived in Chicago for a while.
Yeah. He was a good player. And I was thrilled to play against all these players, like I said.
Yeah.
Maybe like these ball players now that get lots of that money, but I would play there for nothing.
Yeah.
I was just to be up there. Getting up there so late, you know. They talk about this Ted Williams ship now. We had a ship on Frank McCormick when we played him.
I was going to ask you about that. You know, you said that you got your signals from...
Ben Chapman.
From Dixie Mott.
From Ben Chapman shifted us to the players when he wanted us to play now. And Frank McCormick came over from the bat for the Reds. I played back at second base.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that was the first time I noted a shift like that. I didn't think that he'd have me over that far, but Frank McCormick did hit one right down the middle, and there I was standing waiting for him, and I threw him out.
He used to pull everything.
Yeah, pulled everything. So when I read about Ted Williams later, all that shit they pulled out of him, I wasn't surprised because I'd been in one in myself. So.
Yeah. Was there anyone else that you did that for besides Frank McCormick?
Dixie Walker, he was a pull hitter. So when I played him, he was a left-handed. I played more back at first base. And he shifted bits and models.
Did you play against...
Sir, tell me the circumstances under which you joined the Senators in 44. I know you were a teenager. Was it fresh out of school or what?
I had played 1 year of college baseball.